Good morning. So when Mike asked if I would come up and preach this morning, I was encouraged by one thing that I remembered. One of my fellow teachers, on his first day of class, he came up to the podium, and we have like a wooden podium where the teacher will stand, and it's just a platform about that high. And as he was going up to the platform, he was kind of a bigger guy, and his foot actually went through the platform, and he started falling. And so to support himself, there was a TV on kind of a shelf right here, and he reached out to steady himself, and he tipped the TV over and went crashing to the ground. So I thought, well, as long as my time can't possibly be worse than his first day of class, so... That made me feel better. most of you probably know me or have seen me or talked to me. I teach in China. So I've been teaching in China for the last about 14 years now. And I teach ESL, so English as a second language. My students are... They are college-age students. I usually tend to teach the freshmen, sophomore students. So just like here, they're 18, 19, somewhere like that. And they're going to school at our college. It's a teacher's college, so they're going there to basically to become English teachers themselves after they graduate. So that's kind of what I do. And the group that I'm there with, their focus and our focus is to really show love and truth and share that with our students and our national friends while we're there. This morning, I'm not going to be talking a whole lot about what we've been doing there. Those kind of conversations, I think, are better to be had in small groups or just one-on-one. So if you are curious and you want to know more about what we've been doing this last year, feel free to come up and talk to me. I can be kind of quiet, but if you engage with me one-on-one and ask me questions, I can start talking, and after a while, you won't be able to get me to shut up. So just feel free to talk with me if you do have questions and want to know. But this morning, I wanted to look at a passage that has really encouraged me and challenged me throughout the years. Especially in my time in China. This is from Exodus 3 and 4. So I pray that it also encourages you and challenges you as well. First of all, real fast, this is my team in China. So you could probably find me in the mix there. So this is just outside. This is in our town, in a small town, kind of in central China. So as we look at Exodus 3 and 4, I want to set the scene of what is happening in the passage we'll be looking at. So this is from Exodus 2, and I'll go ahead and read it. During those many days, the king of Egypt died, and the people of Israel groaned of their slavery and cried out for help. Their cry for rescue from slavery came up to God, and God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. God saw the people of Israel, and God knew. So I'm sure most of us know the story of Moses and what is happening to the people of Israel at this time. So they're under slavery by the Egyptians. When Joseph was... in Egypt, him and his family all came over to Egypt during a famine, and so they remained there for generations upon generations. And the Israelites have become more and more numerous. The Egyptians started to fear them because they were so numerous, and so Pharaoh put them, basically made slaves out of them. And so the Israelites being very oppressed at this time. And Even they went so far as Pharaoh had the first had this a son of all the Jewish people. If they gave birth to a son, they would need to throw it into the Nile. And of course, Moses was saved, and he was brought up by Pharaoh's daughter. So at this time in the story, what's happening in Exodus, the time is very bleak, right? It's a very sad time, and there's a lot of darkness. This last semester, I got to teach a film class, which was really a great opportunity for me because I love films and I love talking about films. So one film that we watched with the students was The Chronicles of Narnia, The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. And when the children, the Pevensey children, they first go to the land of Narnia, the world is very bleak. It's in an eternal winter, but it's never Christmas. The White Witch is ruling Narnia at this time, and all of the animals and the beings that live in Narnia all live in fear and oppression. And as the children, they meet with the beavers, and the beavers tell the children, you know, all hope is not lost. Aslan is on the move. And just those few words, Aslan is on the move, really brings hope to the children. And they haven't even heard of Aslan. They don't know who he is, but there's that sense of hope. And we get that same sense in just those last three words, and God knew. Right. And for me, that's very encouraging, because when we look at the world, the state of the world, and just all of the terrible things that are going on in America and in other countries, we can have confidence and assurance that God is not blind, that he is not turning his back on his people, but that he is very aware of it, and he's just waiting for the fullness of time. So Moses comes across, after Moses had defended one of his Israelites who was being oppressed, and he struck the Egyptian, killed him, then he hid his body, and he fled to Midian. During this time, he comes across the burning bush, and so that's kind of where the story picks up. And so this is God's call to Moses at this time. So then the Lord said, this is from Exodus 3, starting in verse 7. Then the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their cry because of the taskmasters. I know their sufferings, and I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now behold, the cry of the people of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppress them. Come, I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. So this is God's call to Moses. He hasn't been blind to Israel's oppression. He's going to move and act, and he wants to use Moses to do it. So I'm sure Moses hearing this, part of him is excited that God is going to work, God is going to move, and he's going to free his people. But then the other half of him's, I love what you want to do, God, but do you really need to use me? I think is one of Moses' big questions. And so he has a lot of concerns about this call that God has given him. And I find a lot of parallels between God's call to Moses at this time and also his call to us, as he calls us to to love God, to love others, but also the Great Commission to go out and make disciples. So we'll be looking at some of those parallels today. So the first one I want to look at, this is the first thing that Moses says to God after he calls him and tells him he's going to send him to Pharaoh to free the Egyptians. So this is in Exodus 3, 11 to 12. But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt?" He said, "But I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain." Oh, so again, when Moses, when God gives this call to Moses, I think it's easy for him to, and I think we all do that, is look at ourselves, and we turn to our own inadequacies. God, I can't do this. I am very inadequate. Do you really know who I am? Do you know that I've done these things in the past? Do you know that I am not worthy to do this task? So, but how God responds to Moses, I think, is very powerful. He doesn't try to encourage Moses, "Yeah, you can do it, you're really good." But he turns the attention to who God is and talks about, "I will be with you." And I think there's so much power just in that promise of God's presence. And God gives, throughout the Bible, God gives promises of his presence in many scriptures. We'll just look at a few of them. But in Joshua, this is chapter 1, so we're probably all familiar with this. This is after Moses had died. And the Israelites are getting ready to go, finally go into the promised land. And so Joshua is kind of stepping into the shoes of Moses, leading the people of Israel into the promised land. So you can imagine he probably has a lot of anxiety and trepidation about this. But God says to him, this is God speaking to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I am giving to them, to the people of Israel." And then this is down to verse 5. "No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you." So again, God giving us his that promise to Joshua that he will be with him and stay with him and he will not turn his back on him. And then later in the New Testament, Jesus talking to his disciples, this is in the Great Commission, Matthew 28, verse 20, "And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." A few thoughts just about this idea of God's presence. I remember when I, through various times when I've been in China, I think just if you have spent some time in a foreign country, there's a lot of new things, a lot of strange things, but also sometimes just laying at night and really feeling just an oppressive sense of evil. And not knowing, just kind of filling you with fear. And so having that promise that God is with me. And I remember one time when I was in Hunan province, this was probably my first or second year in China, really laying in bed, and I was kind of half awake, and I had just this dread, and I thought I saw somebody coming in through the door of my bedroom, and looking at me and pulling out a gun and pointing it directly at me. And never before in my life have I been scared stiff, like I could not move at all. I was so scared that I couldn't even say anything. But really, it was there was nobody there. It was just either it was just a vision or just something that I saw. And so just remembering, you know, that was a time when I said a prayer and just asked God to just remind me of his presence there and to fill me with his peace. And so we have those promises that really do, those are realities. And how often do we forget that, that we do have God's presence with us? In our school, we try to have different English activities for the students to participate in. And this last semester, we started an activity called English Lounge. And the idea of English Lounge was the students could come and basically they could just talk about what they want to talk about in English. So it's a way for them to practice their English. And also they're not just talking with the foreign teacher, but they're also talking with each other. And it was really interesting, throughout this whole last semester, one of the most popular topics that students like to talk about is, do you believe in ghosts? And a lot of times when I would talk to students about this, at first I would ask them, and they say, oh no, I don't believe in ghosts, right? You know, I believe in fact, and you know, this I believe in science. You know, they've been brought up in the communist education. But then when I really started to really ask about, well, have you ever seen a ghost or have you ever been afraid of ghosts? A lot of times, probably 75% of the time, students would have some story that they could share about either personally witnessing something dark and evil happening, like spiritually, or seeing a ghost, or maybe witchcraft in their village. So just a lot of dark things. And I could always share with them, well, I'm not afraid of ghosts because I believe in a God who is more powerful than any kind of evil that is out there. And so we have, again, we have that promise that of God's presence and how powerful that is. And that is something that we can share with others and let them know that if you are his child, you also will have that presence. Going further down in Exodus 3, so this is starting in verse 13 and 15. I'll just go ahead and read it and then we can talk about it. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say this to the people of Israel, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, and thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations. So God has already given Moses that promise of his presence with him. And here, really getting into who God is. And just that powerful statement, I am that I am. I am who I am. There's a lot that could probably be said about that name. But really just want to hit on just a few things about what this reveals about God. And it shows his immortality, for one, that God has existed before the dawn of time, that he exists today and he will exist forever in the future. But also his immutability, that God never changes, that he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He is never going to change. Again, I think it's one of those amazing truths that we don't spend enough time meditating over, that the same God who is talking to Moses in this passage, the same God who parted the Red Sea, the same God who helped the shepherd boy to defeat a giant, that's the same God who sent Jesus into the world, and the same God who sent his Holy Spirit into our hearts, and the same God who is with us wherever we are. So again, just meditating that on remembering those amazing truths. And Jesus used the same phrase to talk about himself, right? This is in John chapter 8, verses 56 to 58. And Jesus is talking to some of the religious leaders. And Jesus says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad. So the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?' Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" So, and I'm sure they would have connected the dots between, as soon as they heard this phrase, they would have thought back to when Moses was at the burning bush and God revealed himself in this way as I am. So we have that truth that it is God, the great I am, who is sending Moses. And in the same way, it's God, the I am, the almighty, immortal, immutable God, who is sending us as well, and who is calling us. So, and then after this, Moses, still talking to God, Moses still has some concerns. Moses answered, "But behold, they will not believe me or listen to my voice, for they will say, 'The Lord did not appear to you.' The Lord said to him, 'What is that in your hand?' He said, 'A staff.' And he said, 'Throw it on the ground.' So he threw it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses ran from it. But the Lord said to Moses, 'Put out your hand and catch it by the tail.' So he put out his hand and caught it, and it became a staff in his hand, that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has appeared to you." So in this passage, really see that God is giving Moses his authority, that when Moses, when you speak to Pharaoh and you speak to the other Israelites, it is not just you, Moses, that is speaking, but you have the authority of God. And not just the authority of God, but even God's power, able to display these signs to show that he has that authority. So just a few kind of personal checks. Have you ever felt this way? I put these up because I always feel this way. So I want some assurance that other people feel this way. If I share the gospel with my coworkers, they'll think I'm a religious nut. Okay, so maybe that idea, or sharing it with my friends or other people. If I tell my Christian friend that their life is going against God's will for them, then they'll think I'm being judgmental. If I invite my neighbor to church, it'll be awkward and they probably won't want to go. So I'm sure we've all had similar thoughts or similar feelings. Again, really forget the power of God's word and the authority that he has given us. A couple other scriptures that really help to reinforce this. This is from Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. So remembering just how powerful this book is, that it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and that it is eternally relevant. It's not just relevant for the people 2,000 years ago, but even today, how we pick up the Bible and we read it, and it continues to pierce the division of soul and spirit, is able to show just with such poignancy our sin and how much we've fallen, and God's love for us. Another verse, this is found in Matthew 28:18-19. So this is the beginning of the Great Commission. And Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." So if you think about the disciples and just how they're feeling at this time, they had witnessed Jesus dying on the cross. They thought their teacher and their friend had been dead. But then miraculously, he had come back to life just like he said he would. And he had spent now 40 days with them, but he's going up into heaven. And so they probably, again, have some anxiety, probably nervousness. What's life going to be like after Jesus leaves us? How are we going to continue this movement and this thing that Jesus has started? And so when Jesus tells them all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. So he is giving them that authority. In the next passage, there's, again, Moses continues to have some issues, has some concerns about God's plan. But Moses said to the Lord, "Oh, my Lord, I am not eloquent, either in the past or since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and tongue, and of tongue." Then the Lord said to him, "Who has made man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall speak." This section really resonates with me because all through high school and even into college, I was pretty shy. Child and teenager, didn't really like to talk to other people. I can never do something like this. So I think a lot of times it's easy to look inward and kind of focus on our own inadequacies. But we need to remember, God knows us better than anybody else. He knows our weaknesses. He knows that I'm not a good speaker, or he knows that I can't really teach, or he knows everything about you. But if he has called you, if he has asked you to do something for him, he will give you what you need to accomplish his will. And one of the great things that we have been given is the promise of the Holy Spirit, that we have the Spirit living inside us. In John 14:26, Jesus refers to the Holy Spirit specifically as the Helper. And he says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So we don't need to be nervous or be anxious about following God when he has called us to do something, because we know that his Holy Spirit is living inside us and will give us the words to say and will help us in our time of need. And then in the next section, this is going down to Exodus 4. And so this is Moses, and this is his kind of his last ditch effort to try to get out of this. And Moses says, "Oh my Lord, please send someone else." Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. And he said, "Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him." So in this, one thing that I see is God has really put people in our lives to help support us. And with the disciples, he's really put together the body of Christ that we have that's there to really help and support us. And in my time in China, one thing that has been super helpful is just thinking about the teammates that I've always had who love and care about me, and we've been able to encourage and challenge each other and come alongside one another when, hey, I think you need to be doing this, or hey, you need to start doing this. And so we have the body of believers to help with that, to challenge each other, to encourage one another. And I also think about you. My church home and church body back here in Roseburg, and just knowing that a lot of you have been praying for me, even today, several of you have said that you've been praying for my time up here, and how encouraging that is. And just remembering that we probably won't know the full extent of the power of those prayers until we are, of course, in eternity together. But those prayers are so powerful, and I need those, and we need them from each other. God listens to those prayers, and he acts on those prayers. So remembering that the body is important, and we really need the body. So as we kind of want to look at inward, and look at our own life, start to think about, okay, what is God calling me to do? And for many of us, it's probably we haven't had like a burning bush moment where God spoke very audibly. And we could hear him tell us clearly we should be doing this. But we do have the Holy Spirit who is inside of us and who is directing, should be directing our path, and showing needs to us and showing that, hey, I want you to, this is a need, and I want you to meet that need. Or, hey, this is something that you can do to help, and I want you to move here. So when we have those convictions, and we sense that the Holy Spirit is pulling us in certain directions, we need to be very receptive to that. We should not ignore that, because then we're quenching the Holy Spirit and it becomes easier to ignore his promptings. And so being sensitive to that, how is the Holy Spirit moving? How does he want me to spend my time, spend my money, spend my energy? And it's not just a one decision. Of course, there are the big decisions about, okay, what job should I have? Where should I be working? What position should I have? Where should we live? For all of us, the decisions and the questions that we have are all different. But we need to be seeking God's will and asking, what is His call in my life? I think for all of us, we can sum up God's will in a few verses that is, I find helpful, because I really like to take things and kind of boil them down to their simplicity. And, oh, okay, this I get. So this is the great commandment from Matthew chapter 22, verse 36 to 40. And so somebody comes to Jesus and asks him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Of these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." So for all of us, these are things that we all need to be doing. We all need to be loving God, loving people. Those things, those two commands will never change. So we need to look at the people around us. And are we loving them? And look at our life. Does our life display a life of love to God? Another verse that I think is helpful in thinking about how God is calling me. This is later in Matthew 28. So this is the Great Commission. "And Jesus came and said to them, 'All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age.'" So again, another command from Jesus that we all need to be going and sharing the gospel with our friends, with our neighbors, with the people around us, in word and deed. And that's another important thing. So looking at, kind of examining our own life, how have we been doing that? Are there ways that I can be doing that better? I know during this time, this year, I will be home here in Roseburg. So a lot of these questions I am asking myself. What is God calling me to do while I am here in Roseburg? I feel comfortable being in China and teaching English, but I also recognize that God wants me home during this time to rest, to reconnect with family and friends and supporters. And so thinking about, okay, God, how do you want me to best use my time here? What are you calling me to do? So these are the kinds of issues, questions that I'm asking myself. I think a lot of times when we sense that God is calling us to move in certain areas, maybe we recognize that there's a need, for example, Sunday school teacher at the church. You think, oh, I could be a Sunday school teacher, but maybe I feel a little nervous about teaching this grade, or I'm a little unconfident about my ability as a teacher. But I think a lot of times, God is not looking for spiritual supermen, but He's more looking for willing, empty vessels that are willing to follow Him and to just obey Him. I think that's the important thing. So as we think about God's will and God's call in our life and what He is asking us to do, again, we shouldn't be dissuaded by fear or by doubt or by, oh, that's going to be inconvenient, or, oh, that's going to be uncomfortable. But we need to have assurance that Just like when Moses was talking with God, and God was reassuring Moses with these promises that are just as true for us today. That God is with us, that his presence never leaves us, that the immortal, the unchanging, all-powerful God is sending you, that he's calling us. Again, this is the same God who never changes, the same God who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That almighty Yahweh, that he is the one who is calling us and who promises that he will be with us. And again, that we have been given his authority. That the words that we speak, and as we just share God's love and God's truth with the people around us, that he has given his authority. Again, that he is our helper, that he will give us what we need to accomplish his will, that he knows us better than anybody else, and he knows if we're not a good speaker, or he knows if, I don't think that would be a good fit for me. If you really sense God leading you and calling you in that way, he will give you what you need to do that. And again, that he has given us this body of believers to support, encourage, to challenge each other and help us to grow together in God and in Christ. So I'm going to go ahead and just pray for us. Dear God, we thank you so much that you are there, that you are the unchanging God, that all power rests with you, and God, that you have promised to be with us, and to God, that your presence will be with us wherever we are, whether it be in a place that is as hostile to what we believe. God, we have the assurance that your presence is there with us. Now that you will sustain us, that you will help us, that you will give us what we need. God, we thank you so much for those promises. And we pray, God, that you would give us the courage to like Moses, to step out in faith and to be able to listen to your call and to be able to not to be afraid or to have doubt. God, that you would strengthen us and lead us. And we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.